Hey everybody. Well, it's been strange last month or so. I haven't podcast in probably a month. Many of you know that I had some medical issues, so this is my medical podcast, and it's really probably not going to have any tennis. I doubt it. I may come up with something as I go, but I don't want anybody to get it wrong that I'm telling my story. Because I'm a good patient or trying to teach people a lesson to take care of themselves. I'm the last guy to do that. I hadn't been to the doctor in 12 years to a primary doctor. Didn't even have one. Now I do have one. Seems like a good guy. Hasn't killed me yet. So I'm not telling this story at all because I want to be a role model for how to handle your health. I clearly am not. If you know me at all, I don't go to doctors. Have them into a dentist and too many years to count. But I do want to tell my story primarily for me. I think I need to talk about it. And so I don't know how this is going to go. It's the first one I've ever done. I have no notes. I don't have anything in front of me. I'm just going to start and see where it goes. But I can tell you it was not life-changing. That's too dramatic. There are lots of people who have far worse outcomes than me, far worse injuries and illnesses than me. I'm lucky enough to sit here in Annie's old room and talk about it. So I'm not trying to make it too big, but it is my podcast, as I've said multiple times, and it's my story. And I learned a lot of things from it. So I'm not saying it's life changing. It's probably going to be maybe life altering, adjusting, shifting focus a bit for things like my diet, how I handle health care from now on, how I think about it, the things I learned. So that's pretty much it. So if you don't want to hear it, stop listening and find something else far more valuable for yourself. But basically, I'm gonna start and go and, like I said, see what happens. So Super Bowl Sunday, which was 3 weeks, over 3 weeks ago, I got up in the morning, put 9 miles in on the treadmill, felt great, no issues. I was slow, like usual, because I'm a very slow mover now, but totally fine. Spent the day gearing up for the Super Bowl, had some good food, watch the game, totally fine. Until after the game was over, I just started to feel bad. Typical cough, cold, sore throat, headache. I just thought that was it. So, no big deal. Went to work, spent the week there, slowly feeling worse. And then one night it transitioned to sort of flu-like nausea. Fever, sweating, all that kind of fun stuff. And so I thought I just had the flu. That passed after about 24 hours. And then I realized I was not able to make it through a day of work. I was lightheaded, tired, going to bed super early, unable to complete days at work, canceling afternoon lessons, which is unlike me or really anyone in my career. Groups that normally I enjoy having three where I'm the fourth, I started finding a fourth or not doing them because I didn't think I could do it. Again, just thought nothing of it, thought I just had something and it'll pass. And then a Friday morning came. I remember sitting at the kitchen table, getting ready to take kids to school, and I really figured out I really couldn't stand up without falling down, dizzy, all that stuff. So thankfully, my wife decided that was enough, and she took the kids to school, came home, and took me to the doctor. And that is where I started this journey of my medical world. He took some blood tests, thought I had vertigo, gave me Dramamine, told me to eat more protein, did blood work, sent me home. So I'm feeling like I'm all right. I got a little medicine, I'm going to be fine, and didn't get any better. Saturday, Sunday, really struggling, couldn't do much. Went back Monday morning to schedule for a schedule appointment with a primary doctor who I've never had for, like I said, 12 years. And so when I saw him, he did some more blood work. I called it the Cadillac. They took 9 vials of blood, and I am terrified of needles. And I turned white, and I had to warn them every time that I'm going to pass out. But luckily, I think I've grown past that a bit, and I did okay. Didn't feel great, but the tech or the nurse was awesome. So took these. I get a call Monday night from the doctor. I was feeling pretty bad with the results, and it was pretty quick. He told me get to the ER right away. Don't mess around. Go now. And then it got real, freaked out a little bit. Also, again, this is my podcast, so anyone who knows me real close knows me. I cry pretty easily at things, at especially like sappy dad movies and Full House and any scenes where the mom or dad is teaching a lesson to the kids, that kind of stuff. It's just what I do. I've been known to cry at a few weddings as well in my older days. So I am not trying at all in any of this stuff to act like I'm tough. I know I am not. So I drove myself to the ER. And if you're listening to this thinking, what the heck's wrong with you driving yourself? I didn't give my wife a choice. There was no way I was going to leave Ben and Molly home by themselves while their dad went to ER and Shelly's with me. And I wanted to do this on my own and walk out as strong as I could. So I Google mapped Waukesha Memorial Hospital, which I'll talk more about later. They were just freaking awesome. I have nothing to compare them to, but were great to me. I knew I had 22 minutes drive from my house to get there without crashing, passing out. I had to make that, and I'm not saying it's right. I do not recommend it to anyone else. So I called my buddy Frika, who's been on my podcast, and we have our own, and I knew he would talk to me for 22 minutes without talking about major medical issues, like take my mind off it. And so he did that, and he got me there. I walked into the ER, told him why I was there, what my hemoglobin number was, and from there it just took off. They slapped the band on me. I did not wait in the lobby. I was taken directly to a room and IV and EKG, all this stuff that I didn't know what it was at the time. All of this stuff connected to me, more blood drawn. They took it very seriously, which freaked me out. And I got pretty anxious. And typically, I think I might be wrong about myself. I think I'm pretty go with flow, pretty chill on most things. But I got pretty anxious. Didn't know what was going on. And things started happening. Doctors, nurses, interns, students coming in and testing me out and doing things and blood tests. And so I'm going to try to talk about this without being crazy graphic, but one of the first things that happened to me was I was told to roll over and hang on to the side of the bed. And this doctor decided that he needed to check out my insides with fingers. And this is while 2 20-something college interns are standing watching all of this, and I hadn't met them or been introduced to them, so that was quite a quite an introduction to the medical world. And from that moment, I was admitted immediately. I was in room 5109 and hooked up to machines and getting IV fluids. And shortly after that, my first blood transfusion. So basically, my blood numbers, the hemoglobin numbers, were dropped really low. I went from an 11 on a Friday to a 7 on a Monday, which apparently is real drastic. So I'm now introduced to the medical world, and I had never been in the hospital. This is my first time. Almost 50 and never been admitted to the hospital. So all of this is new to me. And basically, from there, it was tests. It was lots of nurses, lots of doctors. And then the first night, I believe, and I could be a little wrong. Like I said, I have no notes, but that Monday night, They came in with big bag of blood hanging from a IV stand and told me I needed blood transfusions, which again, for a guy who doesn't do hospitals well, was pretty scary. That I think blood is something that's important to us, and you're supposed to have a lot of it. And I was running out of it somehow. And so they filled me up. And if you're interested, you can go to my Instagram or TikTok or Facebook, and you can see some late night videos I recorded of myself during blood transfusions. There's four or five of them. I don't recall doing them, but they did give me something to relax me a bit, and it definitely did because I made some videos and some I did make a joke about something. And anyway, I posted them because it's my story, and I don't mind if people know it. So, first night was blood transfusions. Pretty rough sleeping in the hospital when every couple hours or more, someone's coming in and putting a needle in your arm or taking your vitals or checking on you. And I know they have to. It'd be great if there was a better way to let you get some rest, but I sort of understand now that's not how it works. So, second day, they tell me I need to get a endoscopy, which I couldn't say earlier. I kept calling it an endoscopy. That's not it. It's an endoscopy. So I have to ask what that is because I didn't know. And I have to ask questions like, am I awake? Because I was terrified of these procedures, really scared. Turns out the endoscopy, luckily, they knock you out. So they wheel me down, put me out, and take some pictures, and didn't find anything. Didn't hurt at all. It was super easy. I didn't have to drink anything, which I do the next day. Didn't find anything. So still have no solution or idea of where I was losing blood from. So I spend that day some medicine, doctors coming in and out. They schedule, and I believe my timeline may be slightly off here, but next day I am scheduled for a colonoscopy, which I'm 50. I'm supposed to have one, and I was already working on scheduling one in April. And I was pretty tired by then, pretty beat, and I was supposed to start drinking the wonderful stuff around 5 o'clock. That's what they had told me. So I also, as a person, I like plan. I like knowing 5 o'clock, I've got this done by 10, I can sleep the rest of the night, is what they told me. Well, something happened. Something got screwed up. They didn't start me drinking the colonoscopy stuff till 9 p.m., which means they told me I'm up till at least 1 p.m. Drinking this stuff. And I freaked out. I knew I couldn't do it. I was so tired. I was out, just out of it by then. I was in a bad place. And I can't stay up past 8 o'clock, 8:30 on my own, but let alone after all this sort of stress and being exhausted in the hospital. So I start doing it. I get sick. It's a whole thing. I can't finish it. I get a little probably arguing with the nurses. This is my first moment where I actually thought I was in serious trouble, like life-threatening. I never was, but I got really sick. I had these waves of heat and then cold and then kind of in and out of consciousness, it felt like. And I remember rolling around in the bed, just almost unable to control myself. And I kept telling the nurse something's wrong. I thought my insides decided to give up. Something burst, something blew up, and I thought I might, maybe I don't get through this. So fortunately, my nurse Liz, who was awesome, she called the doctor, and the doctor agreed to let me sleep and stop drinking that god awful stuff, and let me sleep. And it was amazing. I slept for about 6 or 7 hours uninterrupted. I don't know if they just agreed that I needed it to survive this, but I didn't have to take that stuff yet. And then now is where it gets, I think it gets more interesting. Again, I'm telling this story too because I think I mentioned before, I think I need it. I've struggled a little bit when I go to sleep now. I sort of flash back to laying in the hospital at night by myself and all that stuff. So, I get if you've turned this off by now. But the next morning, 7 a.m., and this is where one of my favorite people I've ever met was introduced to me, and I could not stand him. His name is W. He was my nurse the next day. I never met him. He simply goes by W. Polish guy. I didn't know who he was. Wakes me up, loud drill sergeant type in my face. Basically told me, listen, you wake up, we're doing this colonoscopy. You have 3 hours to drink these 4 liters of stuff. And he brought in the cups. He had times on them, and I fought him. I told him, no, I can't do it. Not going to do this again. You tell the doctors we're putting this off. And he said, no, he would not let me. He said, you're doing this. He's like, you got kids? I'm like, yeah. He said, well, you're doing it because of them. And I think he called me names. Not very flattering names. I think I called him names. But then suddenly, not suddenly, but I started drinking that crap. And I started drinking it and kept drinking. And he'd come in, and I almost got to a point where I wanted to drink it as fast as I could to show him that I can do this. Like, he completely tricked me into drinking this stuff that I really didn't believe based on the previous night that I could do again. And mentally, I just figured out a system of timing, and I'd watch the clock and know how much I could drink and how long and when I had to be done. And that stuff's gross for anybody who's had it. It's not fun. Even worse in the hospital when you're connected to an IV and there's a little stress, because if I don't drink this stuff, I don't get the colonoscopy. I have to start over, and they don't find out what's wrong with me. And so it was freaking stressful. But this dude, W, he got me, and I'm forever thankful for him because he got me through a really difficult time. And I finished that stuff like an hour ahead and kicked its ass. And I remember thinking, like, I showed this guy. And then I realized that, nope, he showed me. He tricked me into doing it. And again, going to tennis stuff, it's just different ways to motivate. And I never thought I'd be motivated by someone giving me crap and yelling at me and basically forcing me to do this. But he got it done, and I'm thankful to him forever to keep me on the path the doctors want. And so I get my colonoscopy. That's fun. Totally asleep. I had no issues. Didn't even know it was done. I was back in my room, and unfortunately, didn't find anything. Nothing. So we're 0 for 2. And I've learned since and during that that's somewhat normal for what was happening with me. But he got me through that. Pretty tired, in and out of sleeping that day. And then I get a visit from the doctor, that they've scheduled me for a CT scan that night at 7 o'clock. Well, guess what that means? The CT scan requires you to drink a tremendous amount of something called barium, which is disgusting. I'd rather drink the colonoscopy drink. The barium is thick. It's kind of, I don't know how to describe it, but if you've had it, it's gross, and it kind of lights, I guess it lights up your insides a little bit. So he gives me another deadline. It was like 4 o'clock, and I got to drink these three things by 6 o'clock. And he sits them down and times it for me. And I told him, I can't do it. And you know what W told me? He said, yes, you freaking can. And you're going to, because we need to get this test done. So same thing as the other stuff. I start drinking. I start going as quick as I can. This stuff's gross. I got sick. Ended up getting sick in one of the hospital bags, but kept going. Finished it just barely in time to get this scan done. And now is where it gets a little tricky for me and why I wanted to tell my story. I had tried to be tough, fake everything. Like I was fine with it. I was trying to be positive with the nurses and act like, hey, you want to. They'll come in with a needle. We're going to do this. I'm like, all right, let's go. Totally faked it. Like it was no big deal. And they'd ask me to do something. I would say yes, trying to be a good patient, even though I wasn't. This moment after a day of drinking all that for the colonoscopy, drinking all that for the CT scan, I was pretty weak. I was still getting IV fluids, but hadn't eaten, drank anything. It happened to be a time that my wife and Molly came to visit me, and I was in bad shape, and they had to come in and get me a wheelchair because I couldn't walk. I could not make it to where I was going, and that was a low moment. Having to be put in a wheelchair and rolled down the hallway, and my wife and daughter seeing that, pretty tough. But it had to happen, and so they wheeled me down. I was in a pretty bad place, and they did this CT scan. Thank the Lord, it was an open, just like a big open circle. I did not have to go into like an MRI like I've done before with my brain and all that stuff. And it didn't take very long, but they did this CT scan and checked my insides more, like more. I guess our insides are pretty elaborate. So I do that. Once that's done, I get back to the room and they're there, and I felt much better. It was all over. Didn't have to drink anything else. No more tests, probably for 24 hours. And they finally let me not eat, but I was given liquid diet. And that, amazingly, liquid diet is such a morale booster when you've gone 3 or 4 days with no food, no drink, couldn't even drink water. So I was able to order Jell-O, which is pretty, I guess that's sort of the standard at a hospital. So I got orange Jell-O, and it was the best freaking Jell-O I've ever had. I don't know if I've had Jell-O since I was a little kid, but I found myself very, very cautious. I probably ate a third of it, maybe, because I was terrified of what was happening inside of me, and I didn't want to have to, if I fill up on something, I've got to take more drinks to clear myself out. So I had a little Jell-O. I got some chicken broth. I became very fond of. It's like chicken noodle soup without the noodles. It was great. Such a big boost to my spirit, I guess, being able to have that. I had about 2 bites of a popsicle, and it was amazing. Felt so much better just having that. And so I felt a lot better. Got some sleep that night. Didn't bother me again. Anything irregular. Started to feel a little bit better. Unfortunately, the CT scan found nothing. So I'm 0 for 3 on standard tests. So they've got one more to do. This was my last big challenge at the hospital. It's a camera pill. And again, there's of all of this, what I'm talking about, there are pictures of it. I posted everything on TikTok, Facebook, Instagram, you name it. I put it up there. I don't know why. I just don't care anymore if people know my life, I guess. It doesn't embarrass me. I think it's who I am. So they tell me I've got to take this camera pill the next day, and I start Googling and asking questions, and this camera pill to me is enormous, and I'm not a great pill taker, never have been. I was the kid, I remember as a young kid, if I had to go to the doctor for anything and they prescribed medicine, I had to get the liquid form because I couldn't take pills. Still not great at it. I have a fear of it, choking, whatever. I don't know why. It must have happened at some point. So I realize I got to swallow this thing tomorrow, and it's massive, and it's flashing, and it's got like 16 cameras in it, and it comes in like a case, like almost like a clear jewelry box, and I believe I might be wrong, but it looked like it was being charged, like on a charger. Your iPhone might be on, and so they come in the next day, and the doctor and nurse, they tell me what's going to happen, and in her hand. The technician, I get them all confused whether they're nurses, doctors, techs, CNAs, PAs, LPD, whatever. If I'm getting this wrong, it's just because I don't know. She walks in with all this equipment in her hand, and one of the pieces looks like it's the type of thing that they put down your throat to help you. And I guess what I did? Turned white, started sweating. Because so far I have avoided major pain, major discomfort, and I just pictured someone having to hold me down and shove this thing down my throat. So my first question was, how do I take this? And luckily, she says, you got to swallow it. But if I can't do it on my own, because apparently it's a struggle, a lot of people can't do it because it's such a large pill. If I can't do it, they do it for me. And that freaked me out. And really concerning. That was probably another dark time for me of really scared that if I can't do this, I know the consequence. They're going to make sure I take this thing. I have to do it. So it's about an hour from that point to where I got to take the pill. And during that hour, they're hooking me up to, it looked like a car engine on me, like all these wires and stuff strapped to me. And I have like this fanny pack with a camera on it. Pretty heavy, uncomfortable. They're hooking me up. They give me some anti-nausea stuff, some other medicine. And all this time, I'm trying to fall back on my former athlete days of mentally visualizing me succeeding. And so I remember laying in the bed, I got my eyes closed, and I'm just over and over planning out how am I going to do this and telling myself that I will do this. I think the kids use the word manifest, and I think I was doing that. So I was trying to like visualize her handing me the pill and telling me it's go time and how I was going to do it and how much water I was going to drink and just really focused because this is my last big event. I knew it. There are no more tests after this. And if I can't do it, I'm going to have my first moment of serious pain and discomfort in the hospital. So I'm going through that, trying like I'm breathing big deep breaths and just really trying to focus. And she tells me it's time. And I stood up. Because by then I was a little stronger, I could stand. Because I don't know why, I just felt like I needed to be standing up. I couldn't do it sitting down, it was too big a deal. So I stood up. She hands me a glass of water. She puts this flashing pill in my hand. And I had prepared myself so much that I didn't think about it. I didn't wait. I didn't do anything. I threw that thing in my mouth, one drink of water, and I threw my head back as hard as I could, like I got front seat of a car and got hit and I got whiplash and I threw my head back as hard as I could. And I am not a praying person. I'm not against it. It's a different story, but I'm neutral at the moment. But in that moment, I may have prayed to anything that would help me take this thing. So I threw it back and fortunately I got it done in one go. It didn't get stuck. It was done. It's like a second and over, and the relief I had was the most I had the whole time. Probably more than when the doctor told me it's not cancer, it's not tumors, it's not diabetes and leukemia and all these life-threatening things. This was a huge moment of relief that I took this pill. So that takes 10 hours to work its way through you, and it's taking pictures. I heard it was taking pictures like every second. Somebody said every 5 seconds, whatever. So results, I spent a whole 24 hours in the hospital with nothing to do. There were no more tests to do. There were blood tests, but there was no more procedures. We did four of them, and they actually offered to send me home after I took that pill because they didn't have anything for me. And thanks to some very good doctor friends of mine, Dr. J, Dr. Rania, Dr. Judy, my wife, and then eventually W, the nurse that kicked my ass, all told me, you might as well stay. Stay one more day. And so they had offered me to go home. And I knew the decision was to stay as much as I wanted to go home, because there was no harm in staying. There was a lot of harm if I had gone home and this went south. And I'm not in the middle of a hospital and have a room and doctors and nurses helping me. So I stayed a whole nother probably 36 hours without any procedures done and kept getting stronger. The last day, they finally put me on a real diet and I got to order food off the real menu. And as excited as I was, I couldn't eat it. I ate just little bits of it because I was terrified of what it was going to do to me. Like mentally, I wanted to eat so bad, and I really struggled to do that. Not struggling now. I eat cheeseburgers all day now and green leafy vegetables, but I'll get to that later. So I got that done, and the next day, spent another night. Doctors came in, didn't find anything on the camera pill. So we're 0 for 4, found nothing. Turns out that it's hard to find bleeding in your insides, because if it's not actively happening when the camera is in there, they can't see it. And the good news is it stopped on its own. So they think maybe something happened and something burst, or a blood vessel or something, and it healed itself. It ran its course and stopped, and my numbers started stabilizing, not going through the roof, but things were, I'd say, from in my standpoint, no longer life-threatening, even though they probably never were. But I have learned in my experience that it doesn't matter what the doctors think. If your brain at all thinks that it's life-threatening, then you're going to behave like it is. And I had some moments like that, but nothing. So they told me I could go, and I had ordered some breakfast. Didn't eat much of it, and cleared to go home. So 0 for 4 and all that kind of stuff. And then it gets even slightly scarier. So I go home. I drove home. I felt fine. No issues. I walked out of that hospital. They offered me a wheelchair. I said, heck no, I am walking out of here. Just like I walked in. I don't know, maybe it's just pride or stubbornness or being a dumbass. I wanted to walk out of that hospital after 5 days. So I did, drove myself home. Shell was behind me. I was fine. Got home. Everything's cool. Ate something. Felt great. But you can imagine, after 5 days in the hospital, I had not taken a shower. I was pretty gross. All of these procedures, colonoscopy, not the cleanest activity a human participates in. So I wanted a shower, and I'm like, cool, I'm taking a shower, a good one. And so went downstairs, because we've got like a corner shower. Mine is corner shower in the basement, and I just want to take a shower. I get in the shower. I, within a couple of minutes, realize that I am getting lightheaded and dizzy, and I'm not going to make it. And that's when I woke up a few minutes later on the floor of the shower, with shower still running, and trying to figure out, when I woke up, why both of my feet hurt so bad, like somebody hit him with a jackhammer or a sledgehammer. Why one of my feet, foots, feets, one of my feet is bleeding, got a big gash on it, and why my hip hurts so bad. Because I didn't put together that I had actually officially passed out, fallen down. So I finished the shower from the floor. I figured I'm already here, and I had to crawl out, call Shell, try to get myself up. And so I immediately thought something bad happens. This is my second moment where I thought something really bad has happened. I'm not gonna make it. They thought the hospital screwed up. They shouldn't have sent me home. All this stuff. So I made it to bed, and I kept laying in bed, and I drove myself crazy because I thought I was dying, and still lightheaded, spinning around, 100% certain something's wrong with me. My left ankle also blew up like a softball too. So now I can hardly walk. I am limping, and eventually turned purple and gross. And it's all right now, but it was just your basic, pretty good sprained ankle. So I start talking to my doctor friends. Eventually call the GI doctor, who was awesome enough to give me her cell number, which I'm, again, forever grateful for. And was just kind of told, if you're going to be up all night, anxious, worried, nervous about it, you should go to the ER. And I would have. I was convincing myself that this is it for me. So this time I couldn't drive. So Shell gets me in the car. This time I do leave the kids at home, and I do not drive myself, because I learned my lesson. We get to the ER. I feel 100% fine. No issues. Walked in, not dizzy, not lightheaded. No pain other than my ankle. You would have thought, seeing me, my limping, that I was there for a broken ankle. So I got discharged on Friday at 1 o'clock, and I'm back in the ER probably 6 o'clock, 5 hours later. And I'm terrified. I'm going to be readmitted. I even asked the doctor if there's a way I could request my same room because I wanted the same nurses. Turns out you can. Doesn't mean I'd get it, but you could ask. So EKG again, IV in, take my blood. All this time I'm feeling fine now. Like I get to the hospital, I feel great. So turns out I'm terrified they're going to get my hemoglobin number and it's going to have dropped again, which means I'm bleeding again and I'm in serious trouble. Well, about 5 minutes after they took the blood work, because in the ER they were real fast, they had my history. It was nothing. I did not have to wait at all. Comes in, the nurse tells me that my numbers actually went up. I had gone up to like a 9, 9.1, something like that. So my blood level actually increased, which I was shocked, super relieved. And they told me, I saw a doctor, a couple nurses, techs, all those people. Every one of them asked me, how hot was the shower? I'm like, that's a normal hot shower. It's pretty hot. It wasn't like burning my flesh, but I had been in the hospital 5 days. I wanted a good hot shower. And they told me, that's your problem. Apparently, hot showers somehow do something to your blood or restrict it or something like that. And that lowered my blood pressure. And in my case, with already less blood than most humans live with, that caused me to pass out. So my insides were fine. It was the hot freaking water. And only thing I think I'm disappointed in at the hospital is during my discharge process with the nurse and the doctor, they went over pages of things that I can and can't do. Not one time was a hot shower mentioned. Never said a word. It wasn't in the paperwork. Nothing. And I just feel like maybe someone should have recognized that I hadn't showered in a week, and that should be a high priority for someone in my case. Fortunately, they unhooked me from the IV, took the needles out, sent me home. I'm back home by 8 o'clock, and the avoided disaster. Avoided. Again, I was thinking surgery. I was thinking my insides exploded, and I avoided that, but. That really difficult time was that drive from home back to the ER on the same day. It was pretty rough. That I'd put that in my top five low moments, thinking that they didn't fix me and it didn't stop, and I've got to do all this again. And that was it. So I've been home ever since my first day. Again, most of this stuff I've chronicled a little bit. Again, mostly for me. I'm going to look back on it, I think, someday, and maybe I learned something from it. But my first day home, I got, I believe, 163 steps in a day. And typically, my days, a normal work day is going to be 25 to 30,000. Next day, I get 1,000, and then I'm 3 and 5, and then I hit 10,000. And now I'm not back to the 20s, but I'm over 10 every day. And I have had a green leafy salad every day since I've been home. I have eaten a tremendous amount of burgers and red meat is what they want me to eat because I cannot take iron pills because it's bad for your stomach. But I can eat as many cheeseburgers as I want to and pretty much eat anything I want. I lost 12 pounds in 5 days in the hospital. Did not eat between Monday and Friday. So I lost, it's a great diet. My weight number, I dropped all the way down to 170, and I had been up to 182. So that was cool. But now I get to eat whatever I want. Sometimes I'm going to have to stop it. I've had milkshakes and you name it, I'm eating it. But I mentioned life adjusting earlier. It's something I've got to do better with the green leafy vegetables, which I've had a lot of spinach lately. Red meat, no problem at all. I can handle that. But that's been a little bit of a change. But primarily, it's just the tiredness and going from that. I mentioned when I started 9 miles on that Sunday, 3 weeks later, I can't walk down the hall without needing a break. How incredibly fast, everything was gone. So I've been walking, little bit of light jogging. I wouldn't even call it, it's a wog. Trying that, raising my heart rate a little bit, and I got up. I did 6 miles a couple days ago, a very slow walk on a treadmill. For longer ones, I do the treadmill because I need handrails. I can now be unsupervised. I can drive by myself. I don't have to tell my family that I'm going downstairs or I'm moving. I can lock the door in the bathroom, and it's because I don't have that fear of someone needing to come save me. I'm still in a different bedroom upstairs, so I don't have to go up and down the stairs a lot. The interesting thing is I could walk forever straight, but going upstairs, any incline, anything that raises that intensity wipes me out. I get the whack. If you know the whack in the back employee lot, we have to go up one flight of stairs to get to the employee entrance. And every day I go up that thing, I get down the hall, get into the office, and I have to sit in a chair by my friend Julie for about 5 minutes and catch my breath before I can walk the next 20 feet back to my office. So that stamina thing is just freaking incredible how it's wiped out. But I got some goals. I've got a trip I'm leaving for in about 4 days, 3 days. It's my 50th birthday trip with my buddies Freaka and Niche. That was a big motivator for me because this has been planned for a while and I look forward to these trips. Last year we went to Cooperstown for Nisha's 50th, and this year is mine. And we're going to Tennessee to stay in a tree house in the Smoky Mountains. And there was no way I was going to miss that thing. And I started thinking about it while I was in the hospital that if this drags on, I can't make it because there's going to be a lot of walking and hiking and eating and no drinking because I don't do that anyway, but I definitely am not doing it anymore. So I had that to motivate me, and I'm going. I have to be able to drive to Louisville, Kentucky by myself in 3 days, and I think I'm okay. And then we'll all meet up, and they will take me the rest of the way. And then, as most of you know, I've got a half marathon to complete April 27th, and I'm counting down the days. It's about 38, 37 days away, and I'm just building up to get to that start line. And my first goal is get to the freaking start line. I'm not missing it. And that was a motivator for me as well. So right now I'm going to be there. I don't know if I can finish. I'm not quite sure, but I'm going to build up mileage every day and try to get stronger and eat my cheeseburgers because I want to cross that line. Especially after this last week, I want to be able to prove that I'm back and can do it. So I'm not going to hurt myself to do it, I promise. But I will walk it. I will go slow. I'll jog. I'll ride on the back of a donkey if I have to. But I'm going to finish that race is the goal. But I will not, because a lot of you have asked me or told me not to do it. I'm not going to hurt myself to do it. If I get 5 miles in and realize this is a bad idea, I'll stop. I have to, because the option is to end up in a hospital again, and I can't handle that. So that's some of my story, but I mentioned this the man called W, and I may never see this dude again. If I was a better person, hopefully I am, I might try to track him down as a traveling nurse. I happen to have him for the week. The service I received taught me a lot because it was spectacular across the board. I'm not joking when I say every single person I came across from the moment I stepped foot in that ER, the receptionist to the first nurse, the first doctor, everybody took amazing care of me. They treated me like I needed to at the time, a rookie to the hospital world, terrified of what was going on, and they were great. But W went above and beyond. He became my friend over 5 days. He came into my room multiple times and just sat with me and talked, not medical talk, just life talk, and telling me about his family and his life and what he's doing and asking about mine. And he taught me a ton about how to treat people, how to make people feel comfortable, how to motivate people. I hope I'm better with my students and clients and team that I work with because of this dude. Just spectacular. And he knew how anxious I was and how nervous I was. And he also knew how to push me to a place that I didn't want to go. And as much as there were times I wanted to punch him in the face, he got me through some stuff that I don't think I could have done without W. And I hope to see him again. But I learned a tremendous amount from him and the other nurses about customer, not just medical care, customer care. I learned that nurses and the cleaning people and the techs and the people that came in and draw my blood, they do the work. I get the doctors are highly educated and they save lives. But in my experience, in 5 days, if I added up the time I saw a doctor standing in front of me having a conversation, I would say less than 15 minutes total. And I had those nurses every single second the rest of the time. They are the ones that took care of me. I know the doctors were doing things behind the scenes. I would get reports on my app on my phone. But the nurses, they took care of it. Even the people that brought me my food were nice to me. And I can't say enough about I chose Waukesha Memorial because it was suggested to me, and my doctor was part of that group. But this W dude, I hope I can be as good as him with my students someday. And I hope to see him again at some point. I think I'm here, but I don't think I'm in as good a place I am without somebody like him. And Liz, I had her every day. Just amazing. So I can't say enough about those people. I've already used this experience on the court. I had to learn a lot of patience because it's come in, do a test, wait several hours till you get results, and do nothing in between. And that was tough for me. I'm not super patient. I like to get stuff done in a quick time frame, and I struggled with that. The hours of just nothing. Trying to read a book, too tired. I had the TV on, but the volume was off because the noise just bothered me. At some point, I was too tired to return texts. So you're just laying there, but to have people come in and actually have a conversation with you and not just tell you, we're going to take your blood, we're going to take your vitals, we're going to do this, we're going to change your IV bag, but actually have a conversation was huge, and building just over a short time that relationship was pretty amazing. But that's my story. I'm fine now. I feel great. I'm tired. I have a limited amount of energy every day, but it's getting better. And I got those two things, my trip and the race. I'm going to finish it. And I got back on court the last 2 days, did a couple hours. I didn't fall down, which is really awesome. I got a shower chair. I'm not using it anymore, but that's cool. And I think hopefully in the future, I'll be a little better at taking care of myself and recognizing these things. And I look back now and I've talked to people about it that I think this had been going on for probably weeks, if not months. I just blew it off as some other sickness. I didn't recognize that it could be serious. And like I said at the start, I'm not doing this because I think I'm a great example for healthcare, but I'm going to be better, I believe. And if anybody else has some issues that they're unsure of, man, get it checked out because it's not fun being in the hospital. My experience was actually probably better than most, I think, but I don't want to do it again. I'll go back and visit some people that took good care of me, but I ain't going back. Also, the doctors told me that this could happen again tomorrow or it could never happen again the rest of my life. And I find that I'm getting better over days, but I find it fearful. Like every day, I got a little bit of fear that it's going to start again and I'm back in that same situation. And I think it's one reason it's important that I tell this story, even if nobody hears it. And I've probably lost all my listeners by now anyway, but anyway, lastly, I just got to thank everybody who texted me, called me, emailed me, reached out, came to see me, thought about me. that was overwhelming. And I wish I was a better person, because I don't think I'm that guy who reaches out like that. I think I'm the guy who maybe knows it's happening, and then in my head, I'm going to do something cool for them and reach out, and then I maybe don't do it like I should. So I will try to be better. So if you're ever in the hospital or hurting, I'll try to be better. I can't promise it. I'm not the greatest human on earth, but I feel good. I'm happy to be here. And that's my story. If you listened to it all, thanks. If you didn't, it's okay. It's okay if you bailed out an hour ago. I needed to get it out there and talk about it a bit for my own personal therapy, I think, which is sort of what my podcast is. But I'll make y'all a deal. Next time I'm back on here, I'm talking tennis and pickleball, or back to my usual stuff. If you just want tennis talk, you can go. I've been posting these dumb analogy short videos. They're like a minute, 2 minutes, about dumb things I say on the court that I think are valuable to students. You can find those. They're also on the podcast. And so I post them on the podcast, Instagram. You can also watch these on YouTube, which is super boring. It's just me sitting at a desk with the camera on, so I wouldn't say I put on a show for you. But I think that's all I got. I'm tired. It's about 6:45, which means my bedtime is coming up these days. But thanks, everybody. Thanks for listening, and hope to see y'all soon. Bye-bye.